The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed of broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. It's the FOTB pod, baby. Chilling the most at the Pharrell Palatial. So what I've done is I've hooked up with Stavros Christoudis. I got it wrong already.
Are you good?
No, I'm not good. Christoudis. What a name. Is that Greek?
Yes, it is.
So Stavros is a new friend of mine. He is a surgeon. He does all kinds of surgeries, and we're going to get into all of that with him. So you won't even believe this, but I've been to Greece.
Nice. Where?
You're going to love this. So I cut a deal with my dad, who's since dead. He was a really cool guy. And so when he retired, he ran steel mills in Belgrade. So he was over in Belgrade living. He was living in this mansion. He had 24/7 security because he was like some American guy, and they don't like Americans. So he's over there running steel mills. They liked him because he gave him jobs, but he still had to watch his back, right? And so he called me up and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll fly you to Belgrade and I will pay for everything, all your food, all your booze, and you can hang out here for a month if you get me into the Olympics. And I said, so wait a minute, you want me to take you to the Olympics in Athens? And that's what you want to do? And he said, that's what I want to do. I want to go to the Olympics with you. And he said, I will pay for everything, but you have to get the credentials. So I was a media guy. So I had been to Olympic Games.
Nice.
I've been to like 4 Olympic Games. So I said, that's a deal.
Nice.
And so I got him credentials. I flew over to Germany. I hung out. I drank just a ton of beer.
Nice.
And then I jumped on a plane and flew to Belgrade and I drank vodka for, I think, upwards of 2 weeks straight. I went on a 2-week vodka bender.
Nice.
And I went to casinos at night with his money, and I gambled, and I drank vodka, and I tried to sleep with hot, I guess, Belgradian women. Is that a word?
I guess Eastern European.
Like,
vodka.
They're basically Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
You know, they're like right out of a James Bond movie.
Nice.
Like, just hot Eastern European, you know, let's just get down to it, sluts.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is what I'm going to do for 2 weeks. And so the entire time I was there, I was obliterated. And then I'd wake up every day and he'd be gone. He'd be running the steel mill and I'd be in this house. I'd never been there before. So imagine being in an Eastern Bloc country. Everything's different. Everything's different. Like, they have soccer on all day. There's nothing else on television. I couldn't understand a word they spoke, not one word. So when I was watching TV, it was all in Yugoslavian. And I'm just sitting there going, all right, so I need some weed.
You're not going to find any over there, I don't think. It's hard to find over there.
So what I did find was he turned me on to an underground movie guy. Nice. So he would sell us movies.
Oh, that's funny.
And so I got any movie I ever wanted to watch, and they were all in English.
So you mean like the bootlegs that you find on the table in Chinatown with like the shaky camera in the back row?
These were like really good movies. Oh, nice. There was nothing bad about it. It was just put it in and watch it and you're golden.
Nice.
So I got movies. I drank vodka. I partied. I just remember when it was over, we went to Athens.
Nice.
And so he knew a guy, ran some big PR firm in Athens. And we hooked up with him. I don't remember his name. In fact, what's weird is I think I do have his phone number in my
phone book.
Yeah, like at some point or another, I know this guy. Yeah. Believe it or not, like, I still have his number to this day. He's from Athens, some big shot. So we hooked up with this guy, and this guy took us around everywhere. He took us to the Parthenon. He took us to the Plakos.
Nice.
He took me to all that stuff. And then he drove me around Athens. We spent, like, a day with him. So we did breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we just hit Athens up hard with this guy. And he knew that my dad was a bigwig, so he went hard with us.
Nice.
And it was really fun. So once we got the lay of the land and had partied, and we had already gone over to Budapest. We went to Budapest to see the castle and hang out there, and it's right on the Danube. It was badass.
Nice.
And then we go to Athens, and we spent the whole day with this guy. And then I'm like, all right, let's go. We're going to go to the Olympics. And so we went, and we saw everything. We saw a track and field. We saw basketball. I saw boxing. I saw soccer. We went and saw weightlifting. We did it all. I mean, I literally did it all with my dad. And then it was really bizarre because we went to the soccer games. They're setting off flares. There's smoke bombs going off in the crowd.
It's like every game's a playoff over there.
Right, like it was like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely insane.
It was like the coolest thing ever. We go for 2 weeks, we did this, and he had the time of his life, and he got to go all access. He got to go in and see all these star players, press rooms, interview rooms. He got to meet athletes, the whole deal. We got a million pictures. And he got to spend an Olympic Games with me, and it was in Athens. I thought Athens was really cool. I have to tell you that I think when I went to the Parthenon and to the Plakos, so at night we stayed in this really fancy hotel there.
The views up there, right?
Right, like 5-star, expensive, like high-end.
They're all lit up at night. They're all gorgeous, yeah.
Just the most unbelievable. But it was very unique. It was very small. I remember we had to share a room, and he had one bed. I had the other. It was simple. It was like a bed and then a bathroom. And then you just leave and you go downstairs, you have your meal, and then you go out and you sightsee and whatever, right? So I'm staying in this fancy hotel and he went to bed. And I was like, right after dinner, it's like 9 o'clock. He's like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, well, all right, you're a wussy. I'll see you later. So I went out, right?
Totally different party scene out
there. Oh my
God.
Totally
different. See, what people don't realize here is they have something called siesta over there. Everybody sleeps from 12 to 2.
Right, a nap.
So everybody gets a nap. So people eat dinner at 7:30, 9 o'clock.
Right.
Then the clubs open at 11, 1 o'clock. There's a whole other tier of club that opens at 2, 3 in the morning and goes until 5, 6 in the morning. Everybody gets their nap. It's something I would love to bring here to the United States. I think everybody would be happier if you took a nap 12 to 2. That's how they party over there.
I go into this place at night.
Yeah.
And I go in there at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm thinking, I'm just going to go see if I can get into some trouble here. And I'm going to get my swerve on. I'm going to get drunk.
A lot of trouble over
there. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get drunk.
Yeah.
So I went to this bar. The next thing I knew, I swear to God, I will never forget it as long as I live. They were dancing on top of tables. They were dancing on top of bars. They had dudes playing violins 100 miles an hour, and people were smoking and drinking. I mean, eating olives, the whole deal. And I mean, drinking like champions, not even American. That's amateur hour. This was hardcore. I have never partied and gotten so obliterated in my life type drinking. And I was dancing with people I didn't even know. I was dancing until 6 in the morning. I showed up at the hotel. I smelled like I should have been in a jail. I mean, I was just absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to go to breakfast and go to the Parthenon. And I had a hangover till next week. But what a place.
You always got to play the next day off. You got to just plan the next day of just sleeping, lying on the beach, getting the water, and just drink and eat all day. That's the only way you can recover from that.
So the Plaka is a trippy place. So you go to the Plaka, and it's like a flea market.
Yeah.
So I go with my dad, and he says to me, I think it was a great place to buy silver. Is that what it is?
Yes, silver.
Silver.
Silver is very, very big over there.
Okay, so we went, and we found a guy that our friend had told us about. Go see this guy. So we went to see him.
There's always a guy.
There's always a guy.
Always
but we found guy. Him. He told us exactly where to go. We went to see him. And I'm not even kidding you. My dad must have bought 10 grand worth of silver. Like, it was no joke what he was.
It's like at most $20 an ounce. I mean, that's, holy Jesus, that's a lot of silver.
He bought a lot of silver. Like, it was no joke. So I think at the time, And he was buying me things. So my mom had died when I was a kid. So he had remarried, right? So he was buying this chick a bunch of silver and he went crazy. It was really interesting because, you know, he went in the back room with this guy in his setup and he did deals with him. It wasn't my thing. I wasn't there to buy silver. I was there to get over my hangover. And the only way to get over your hangover is to drink. Right? The hair of the dog.
Drink a lot of water, too, but you can do it the other way, too.
Have you ever seen anything like, though, they sit around all day drinking?
Yeah.
Like, they sit outside on little stools,
yeah,
and they smoke.
Playing backgammon and smoking.
Smoking more cigarettes than anyone on Earth.
That's the one thing about anybody who's never been to Europe, or particularly Eastern Europe, to prepare yourself. Just imagine being able to smoke everywhere. People smoke in the grocery stores. People smoke in the 7-Elevens. Anywhere. It's everywhere.
Still?
Yeah, still. Still, people are smoking everywhere.
You know, I notice when I go to Orient Beach in St. Martin, which is real French, they all smoke there too.
Same thing. Yeah.
They smoke while they're eating.
Yeah.
They got a cigarette going in one hand and they got the food going in the other.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could still smoke on airplanes over there, for God's sakes. I mean, that's how crazy it is.
I'm old enough to remember smoking on airplanes.
Yeah, I do too. I remember.
Do you remember in the back?
Yeah, they had the little ashtrays in the armrest. Right? You're like, what the hell is this thing?
It's like the last five rows.
Yeah, that's how you know you're in a bad airline right now. If the thing's still got an ashtray on it, you're like, Jesus Christ, this thing's older than I am. I've got to start worrying about a parachute on that plane.
But do you remember when people used to smoke on planes?
I still remember that to the day. And you were dying. It was just a closed space. And you're sitting there just drinking and smoking. You're like, oh, are you kidding me with this?
I just think they complained about the smell. I don't think they complained about dying.
The secondhand smoke.
I don't think they did.
Even a 12-hour flight to China one time in your lifetime, is it going to give you emphysema? I don't think so.
So anyway, my wife, 34C, I want to go to Hawaii, right? Have you been to Hawaii?
I haven't been yet.
Okay, that's a fail.
It's a Stavros, trip and a half.
That's a fail on your part.
I've been to Bora Bora.
I've been to Bora Bora. Right, so we'll get into
Tahiti
that.
Was nice.
Tahiti's great. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's talk just first of all about your first swing and a miss. So the fact that you haven't been to Hawaii yet is really high cheese up by the chin swing and a miss. You just swung the bat defensively to not be hit in the face.
Yeah, but you know what it is? You have kids. It's impossible to travel that far with kids.
Do you have kids?
Yeah.
How many kids? You got?
8, 5, and 3.
Oh,
8, 6,
Jesus.
And 3. Just turned 6.
What a nightmare.
That's like 10 hours of flying.
At least. Oh. So let's round it up. It's at least 12 hours.
Oh, my God. On the same plane with three kids.
You know what? I have to take that back. Oof. I think it's 10 hours. You're right. It's 10 or 11 hours.
Jesus.
Okay, because it's 6 to LAX. Yeah. And then it's, you know, if you were going to San Francisco, it'd be 7. So it's another 3.5 from San Francisco. Ooh. It's 4 from LA.
11 hours.
It's 11 hours. But the point is that...
We're on it. As soon as the kids are old enough.
So I'm negotiating with her right now. There's not even going to be a fail here on my part either, because she's like, as soon as this thing's over, we're going to Turks and Caicos.
Nice.
And I said, no, we're not. Turks and Caicos is still steamy hot, sweating hot in the summer. In the summer, it's sweating hot. You go down there, you're going to be miserable. You're going to take a shower. When you get out of the shower, you're going to be sweating. It's way worse than Florida. It's in the Caribbean. It is hotter than balls down there, right? But Hawaii's not hot, okay? Hawaii's perfect, okay?
I always pictured it being humid, like jungly kind of, rainforesty kind of. You know, every time I see a picture, I see like mists and waterfalls and jungly stuff.
It is definitely that, but it's like 80.
Oh, nice.
Okay, it's awesome.
Nice.
And it's trade winds. It's out in the middle of the ocean. So have you ever been to the Caymans?
Yeah.
You know how it's windy there?
Yeah.
And you're not like hot?
Yeah.
And you're like, this is the greatest place ever?
Yeah.
That's what Hawaii's like.
Nice.
So you're out in the middle of the ocean. It's like Bermuda. In Bermuda, there's trade winds.
Oh, yeah. The
and you're not
cool,
sweating your ass off. In the Caribbean, you think it's that way, but the difference is that they're all packed islands around each other. So, you know, it might be windy one day. The next day, it's not windy at all. One day, there's giant surf. The next day, there's none. All right. I said to her, we're going to Hawaii. She said, no way am I flying to Hawaii. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fly to Hawaii, and you're going to fly first class. We're going to fly first class, all of us, two kids, you, me, we're going all the way. She said, no way. I said, you're going to turn down first class to Hawaii. It's 10 hours in first class. They'll do anything for you.
It's like the beds, right? Those are the chairs that go all the
right.
way flat.
The whole deal. It's like magnificent.
That's going to be more expensive than the trip.
They'll even, what do they call that when they scrape your feet with the egg?
Oh, I don't even know.
Calluses. A pedicure.
Oh, yeah.
They'll do that on the flight. I mean, they'll give you shrimp. They'll feed you shrimp and grapes, like you're in the Parthenon,
nice.
In the Plaka.
Nice.
Grapes and wine, and they'll scrape your calluses if you're flying first class to Hawaii. So I figure right now the prices are really good because no one's flying. So if you buy them in advance,
there you go.
I think by late summer you'll be golden, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, do you believe that Bora Bora, which I think is one of the greatest places on earth. So I flew from LAX 11 hours straight down. Where did you fly there from?
We flew here to LA and actually flew from LA, yeah.
And it was really long.
Yeah, we flew first, actually.
You have first class, and you also have to be on massive amounts of Valium or like some kind
alcohol.
Of narcotic.
A couple drinks, you're good.
Alcohol, something to make you sleep because you're going to be on a plane for long. But once you get there, so what I did down there, I sailed.
Nice.
So I got on an 80-foot yacht with 8 people, and I lived on it for a month. We became crew. So everyone had a job every day. There was a captain of the ship. And then just like the TV show you see, the love affair down under,
yeah.
You know, the guy underboard or whatever the hell they call it. You know, the guy with the captain and the crew and then all the people, rich people going.
You're one of those crew.
I was one of the crew. But it was simple. It's like we are the paying crew.
So you're both the crew and the passenger.
We're the passenger. Yeah, we're the tourists.
Nice.
So you hire them to take you sailing through the French Polynesian Islands. So we did a 30-day, a month. And it was great. So what we did was we got on a boat. It was great. Everyone had a job every day. One day you're in the galley. One day you're doing the poop. One day you take the dinghy to shore and get the essentials, liquor, a pound of weed, and all the things that you need. Like literally, kid you not, you could go into a little village on a dinghy, pull up, tie up, get off, look at the first guy you see and go, Bakalulu. And the guy would get you a pound of weed. And it was like $20. For a pound.
Are you sure it's weed if it's $20
no.
for a pound?
Believe me.
Sounds like oregano for $20. You can't think you can buy oregano for
listen,
a pound for $20.
We got oregano, all right, for our pasta. I got a pound of chronic for $20. And like American to them is like $5,000.
Yeah, I guess it's like what they make in a year.
It's third world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's third world. You were down there. It's third world. There's muddy roads and.
Yeah, I remember. I walked the island, actually.
Do
yeah,
you remember?
Like, yeah.
So the mosquitoes were the size of airplanes.
It's weird. You know, you think like America is the only part of as rural country. No, these islands are all rural.
What did you think of the toilet water went down backwards?
That was kind of weird.
It's pretty trippy.
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
It's because you're on the other side of the equator. Waiting,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of weird.
So I go down there and I sail for 30 days and all I did was drink, smoke weed, and have sex and live on a yacht in this giant 80-foot yacht.
Is that a travel agency? It's called Drink, Smoke Weed, and Have Sex?
It is.
Is that it? I'm sure they'd be
all
popular.
I remember is that, I forget what they call them, little, where they go into the coves and they anchor up and you dock. And everyone, all these yachts are in there at night, and that's what they do. And then they all light up, and then they all have their little Christmas tree lights on the outside of the yacht. And then people go from dinghy to dinghy to yacht, and they just party.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so I literally met just thousands of people. I'm not even kidding you when I tell you there were people literally swapping partners.
Wow.
I mean, there were people jumping on ships and having sex with people they didn't even know. The whole time I was there, I wore board shorts.
It sounds a lot like Lake Havasu.
Right. But on another level.
Much nicer. Much
way nicer,
higher level
way higher.
Version of Arizona.
I've been to Lake Havasu, and
like
believe
it.
Me, that is smelly college kids with body odor and mushrooms.
Yeah.
In Bora Bora, you either have money or you ain't going.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm on this yacht. Everything bad's happening around me. Everything bad's happening around. I remember one time it got really bad, the weather, and we were going up and down 30-foot swells, and everyone was hurling. Everyone was seasick. Everyone was hurling. I was in my cabin, and the cabin was literally the size of this table. And when you slept at night, the mosquitoes refueled on you. Like, you'd wake up with these giant mosquito bites all over your legs. It got to the point where you had so many of them that you didn't even care. Like, you just didn't even care anymore. So when you went down there, what'd you do? Go for like a week to some resort?
10 days at Four Seasons, one of those little huts over
there.
Oh,
yeah, the Four Seasons. Now they got the little tiki huts out on the water.
Yeah, that's where we were, yeah.
So nice. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was nice. It was gorgeous.
Now the Four Seasons is 5-star. That'll cost you $20,000 for a week. Did they have air conditioning in your hut?
Yeah, glass bottom hut. Yeah, glass bottom hut.
Clear, like literally
like
crystal
out of
blue.
A postcard. It was like, you never seen blue like that.
It looked like green.
It's crazy.
That water there was so crystal clear that you could dive down 30 feet and still see the
yeah, you could see all the animals. You could see all the stingrays and stuff.
It gave me an erection.
Yeah.
That's how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
I had a boner for like at least 20 of the 30 days because it was so beautiful there. And you were scuba diving, snorkeling, doing all this crazy stuff. And then what was weird was we never killed each other because, you know, when you're on a boat for 30 days, at some point you get boat sickness where you want to kill someone. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat for 30 days, but you know these people on these cruise ships right now stranded at sea because they got the Honda and they're not allowed to dock anywhere? Those people want to kill people.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You had weed and you had booze. I don't know anybody who's ever smoked
and
weed
loose
and said,
women.
Oh, I want and loose women. I was like, what else? What do you mean? Want to kill people?
I got to tell
you. Guys are probably happy as pigs in crap the whole time. You guys are happy as
the
hell.
The chick I went with was so hot.
Yeah, you're in heaven. What do you care? Of course you're not going to want to kill
she
each other.
She was super hot. She slept with like 15 dudes when we were there, but She slept with me like once, but she was so hot. And you know what was even better? She paid for everything.
Oh, my God.
She's like, listen, you want to go to Bora Bora with me? I looked at her and went, no, I don't think so. It sounds really expensive. I'm paying. I go, when do we leave?
You had a sugar mama.
I had a sugar mama.
That's amazing.
I got lucky. I never paid a dime.
Really amazing.
So because I didn't pay a dime, I gave her extra effort.
Nice.
So I was like,
you.
I'll take the poop today. You know what? I'll make dinner.
Oh, she had you
I'll
doing
do
all the
work. I did everything. But I was really good because I made really good. I knew how to bartend, so I made really good drinks. Because when I met her, I was like a bartender. I was really young. I was 23, 24 years old. I can make all these drinks. Let's go. I'll be the bartender. And she's like, you do all that, and then I'll sleep with all your friends, and then I'll pay for everything.
Sounds like college.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Was that the coolest place you've ever been, was Bora Bora?
My parents have a house in Cyprus, actually. We're Greek Cypriot.
Wait, that's even better.
Yeah, it's like their version of Cancun. So that's where all the nightclubs are. So I lived there for 2 months before I started medical school.
So wait, I was going to literally go from Bora Bora back to the Greek islands. Because when I was in Athens, that's not like an island.
No.
That's a big city.
Yeah, it's like New York
City. That's Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like New York City.
It's the same weather as Los Angeles,
yeah.
Right? I never went to the Greek islands.
Yeah, you got to do an island. That's what I was going
to
say.
You know, I went to the city and to the Olympics.
Yeah. Now imagine instead you go to the beach where they're all topless.
What are the best Greek islands?
Santorini. It's expensive, but
I know
gorgeous.
Santorini. Yeah, I've heard of Santorini.
Santorini, yeah.
Is Santorini nicer than Cyprus? Which one's nicer, Cyprus or Santorini?
They're different. Cyprus is an island. It's smaller. And the area you're in, the area that we are in particular, is a city called Ayanapa, which is like their Cancun. It's literally like a college party town. The European countries, all the college kids descend there.
How far is it? To me, it's just like one of those Hawaii or Bora Bora trips.
Yeah, it's 3.5 hours from Greece.
But how far is it from LA to Athens?
LA to Athens.
Or New York to Athens.
Right. New York to Athens, you can do direct, I believe, 7 to 9 hours.
So another three is 12 hours.
Yeah.
So, and how far would Santorini be?
That's only an hour, but then you have to get on
from
the boat,
Athens.
Too. Yeah. It's an hour north. You know, Cyprus is actually only 100 miles from Egypt and 40 miles from Turkey and 90 miles from Israel. So it's right down there in the corner of the Middle East. Yes. Very safe.
And so Cyprus is like a vacation paradise for young kids.
Yes.
And Santorini is a vacation paradise for rich people.
More expensive. They've got these, it's like almost like caves built into cliffs.
Right.
It's built in a huge crater. It's all very mod. Like you've got this very, very modern vibe.
And where do you stay when you go to Santorini?
There's a couple places. I'm going to tell you right now, the hottest hotels shift every year. And some of them are just absolutely gorgeous.
Is it like staying at a Ritz or a Four Seasons?
Yes, it's nicer than that. It's more expensive too, sir. Certainly. You're talking like $1,200 a night, $1,200 to $2,000 a night for a decent room in Santorini.
Wow.
In Cyprus, you can go $200 to $300.
Like in New York prices.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you're saying for sheer elegance, Santorini is the choice, but for partying
Mykonos,
and getting laid,
if you want to be mainland,
Cyprus.
Correct. So let's talk about the most visited countries, where they're from. To go to Cyprus and Ayanapa, number one's England. Number two is Greece. Three is Sweden.
So you mean the Swedes and the English go there the most?
Yes.
Like the French go to St. Martin and St. Barts.
They have nightclubs literally just built around a design for Swedish women to find swarthy, dark-haired, or dark-skinned men.
Really?
Yes, entire nightclubs just for that. And it was just, you had to be at least 6 feet tall to get in. You had to have brown hair and brown eyes to get in.
Come
and it's
on.
Just an ocean of blonde hair. And it's amazing because you go out to the beaches, they're all topless. It's a beautiful place, I got to tell you. But I hate to admit this. At this age, I mean, I'm 40 now. I didn't even know I could handle that place anymore. That place is just, it kicks your ass.
It really?
I mean, I lived there for 2 months before I started medical school. You literally woke up on the beach, all right? You ate lunch, drank, swam all day. Then you get home. You sleep at home again.
Pass out.
You wake up at 8 o'clock. You meet up with your friends. You play backgammon and drink or smoke hookah, right?
Right.
Then 11 o'clock, the clubs open. They open at 11. Then at 2, those clubs close. Then the late clubs open at 2. And then those close at 5. Then the pools open. The nightclub pools open at 5 a.m. for people just keep partying straight through. And it literally just goes all day long. And you don't stop. Just literally 24 hours
partying. I have to go there.
Oh, in Russia. There are a lot of Russian and Eastern Bloc. A lot of women from Eastern Bloc, the high cheekbones, and a lot of mainland Russia, which is actually interesting. You have to be careful with some of the Russian scene there. I actually got in a little bit of trouble.
Like, what happened?
There's Russian mafia.
And so what? Like, they don't like you? And so
they do not like their daughters or family members getting involved with a American. I'm not
so
going to go into
why would they know that you're American? Like, you're as Greek as the day is blue.
Yeah, Greek name, but I've got an American passport, so.
Did your whole family come from Greece and then move here?
My dad is from Cyprus, from the northern half.
Right.
Turkey invaded the northern half, so they took over the northern
half. So you
half.
Hate the Turkish?
Well, I don't hate anybody, but.
I do.
Yeah. Let's just say that they invaded. My dad was in medical school in Athens at the time. He's a surgeon.
Oh, so your dad was a surgeon, too. So you followed in your father's footsteps. Not really. You just gave me a look like, not really. Well, he's a surgeon. You're a surgeon. Who's better?
Not say I'm better than my dad, but I would say this. I didn't want to be a surgeon growing up. I saw Hardy
Works. What did you
want
to be?
Anything but not a surgeon. And then I got my first taste of it in college, being an EMT, taking care of my first patient. I realized it's not about being a surgeon or the hard work. It's about actually caring about people. And then I was like, I'm good at that. I can do
that. That's beautiful, Stavros. I have to tell you that really is.
Yeah.
Oli, you really care about people.
Well, it's true. Right now, you get
saving lives.
So many doctors
such.
Get a bad rap because they do it for the name. I want to be a surgeon. I want to be a doctor.
I want to do it for the money and to get some leg.
And to get a hot wife. And they're the most miserable people.
They're the ones that ruin it for everybody else.
They do. And you look at it like you're serving.
Where did you go to get your medical degree?
Rutgers, Newark. I'm bred, raised in Jersey, yeah.
So you moved here and grew up here.
Yeah.
What high school did you go to?
Ramsey.
Ramsey. I've seen some good basketball games against Ramsey in the day, like DePaul playing Ramsey and schools like that.
And of note, by the way, I'm not just all Greek. My mom's Chinese from mainland China.
Oh, that's right. I knew that you have some Chinese descent.
Yes.
So how did your dad end up sleeping with a Chinese woman?
Well, she was as this way every other doctor does, I guess. She was a nurse. She was an ICU nurse in the Brooklyn VA. My dad was a resident at the time in Brooklyn doing a surgical residency.
And
they met that.
Knock her up and you came out?
No, my brother actually came out.
Oh, so he was the first victim.
Yeah. I was on purpose, so.
And then, so what was it like having a Chinese mother when you were Greek?
I thought it was great, man. You see the two opposite cultures. They're both deep, rich cultures. First of all, you'll never eat better than with that kind of culture. I had the best meals ever.
Did you go to
China?
Yeah,
I've been to China plenty of times. Great visits.
And you liked it?
It's a little bit unnerving, the communism aspect of it. Like, you're not allowed to do this, don't say that. You know, it's a little bit unusual, but.
And then how do they deal with it, though, if your mother's from there and you're like an American kid with a Chinese woman? What do they think, that something's going on here? You're a spy.
Actually, it's worse than that, because my mom's family, my mom's dad was part of Chiang Kai-shek, the anti-communist government, and they moved to Taiwan.
That.
And my uncle was an admiral in their Air Force in Taiwan, so they know our family. They loathe our family. So.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. My mom went back to the heartland in China, to her hometown.
Right.
And she's seeing other relatives of hers. She tried to say hi. They're all like, oh, we don't know you. Like, they're hiding her. They're all nervous. Like, oh, go away, go away. They knock on her door at 2 in the morning. They said, look, of course we recognize you. We love you. Yeah, exactly. People forget it's a communist country. We do a lot of commerce with them. But they had to hide that they knew them. They're like, look, if they knew we were related to you, they'd lock us all up. They hate the family that much.
Really?
Yeah, because they set up camp in Taiwan. And you know the Taiwan-China thing. So they know our family. So my uncle, even before I went to China.
So why would you go there? What, are you living on the edge, Stavros?
It's an amazing country.
Does anyone ever ask you, like, because I have to ask you, I think one of the great soap opera names of all time was on General Hospital, Stavros.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Stavros?
Yes, there was a bad guy named Stavros.
But he
yes.
was such a great bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You may.
It's my only claim to fame, right?
But you
my
may
name.
Become my favorite bad guy doctor.
Well, I prefer to be confused with the guy who dated Paris Hilton. At least I can pretend I was an heir to billions of dollars.
Yeah. That doesn't go over with me.
So,
no, no,
no,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
So the other day I reached out to you and I said, hey, man, why don't you come over and do the show? And you said, I can't, Pharrell. I have to go take something out of someone's ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, by all means, I said, it's very important that you go take care of that. Apparently, you had to dig something out of someone's ass.
Look, I got to tell you.
Was it?
I'll tell you right now, about 90% of the time, it's a dildo. It's just a flat out dildo. It's a dildo. Right now, I think the quarantine's got a lot of people bored, and they're trying to figure out ways
to pass
the time.
So that's what it was?
Yeah.
And what happened? It got in there and got lost?
Yeah, well, the term for it is swallowed. It gets swallowed, and it gets stuck. And people think it's going to come out on its own, and that's one of the things that surgeons have to do. We're the ones who have to go in and get it.
So the individual would actually try to go in on their own with what, Vaseline, and try to get it?
Yeah.
And it's not working well. They literally, their hand is engulfed into their ass, and they're trying to get the end of this thing to pull it out, and they can't get it. And then they actually have to go to an ER, and they have to admit.
They never go right away. No, no. Wait, first of all, they never go right away. They always sit home. They're like, oh, I thought I'd poop it out. And they sit home and they try to do laxatives for a day
or
two.
Of course, that's what I'm saying.
They try
to do it on their own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with their own hand or with they're going to squeeze
it out. They push and they squeeze.
But then they make it worse.
And they make it worse.
So they make it worse.
Because now they're filling themselves up with this laxative or
whatever. Hold on 1 second. So wait, this guy, obviously, I knew that he would lie about it and try to get it himself. So when they come in to the hospital and you get called, when does the lying begin to you?
Look, it's people being embarrassed and trying to get over that embarrassment by saying, I fell on it. I was walking around naked and I fell. And we sit there and go, okay, you fell on it. And what is it? I will tell you this, 90% it's the dildo. And this is one of the suckiest parts of being about a general surgeon on call is that you're the guy who has to come and get it. But the weirder parts are the when it's that other 10% where it's something else. I mean, I've had a light bulb, I've had a beer bottle, a mason jar, a remote control, a hairspray bottle. Now, not me, but one of my colleagues, we always have these kind of water cooler talk for
surgeons.
What
is going on?
Oh, I had a snow globe, an unloaded revolver,
a gun.
Bed knob.
Oh, no, wait a minute. A gun. A gun. And wait a minute. The beer bottle one was interesting.
Well, the beer bottle one was sad, actually.
So an entire beer bottle into the rectum?
Yeah. Actually, what really was sad was this guy was an undocumented individual who didn't pay his coyote. And the coyotes came
to
collect.
So they
took him in the back of a bar and jammed the bottle in there, but they did some damage. That was one of the worst.
Really bad.
So I had to get the bottle out.
Did the bottle break?
No, thank God, but it tore up everything.
And what happened to him?
I had to give him a colostomy bag so that, because it punctured his rectum.
Right.
And I had to give him a colostomy bag.
So they raped him with it.
Yes, exactly. It tore his prostate in half almost.
That's a bad day.
It was a bad day for this poor guy. And I felt really bad because the poor guy didn't have insurance and he didn't have any. And so we took care of him for free.
When people are lying to you about how these things happen to them, and you're the surgeon, and you seem to me to be a guy that would just be like really cool with them, and this doesn't matter. I'm here to get it out.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly.
I'm here
it.
To help you. It doesn't matter what you tell me.
Yeah, seriously, you could tell me you did it with the ball gag in your mouth hanging from the ceiling.
I'm gonna get it out.
I gotta get it out. What's
and then
the big
I'm
deal?
Gonna make you feel better.
Yeah.
You have a lot of pain and a problem. I'm the problem solver.
Correct. Yes.
So, what did you think when I told you that I had 8 ass surgeries? That's a pretty good record.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah.
But you know that I have to have every 2 years for an endoscopy after these problems that I've had. Are you surprised that I had the genetic Fisher fistula railroad where I got them again, then got them again, and then it broke, the bridge broke. And then basically, I tell the story many times that, you know, Dr. Galena, I tell the story that he basically put a rubber rectum in me. He basically put a slip and slide in me and fixed my tracker, and he solved the problem. I never had a problem since, knock on wood, but I've had massive problems. So just so you know, I sit on pillows. I have ass pillows. I have them all over the house, different rooms. I have ass pillows, bedroom, in the TV studio upstairs. I got one in my TV family room, living room. I have one in my car. I have one at work.
Good.
Just sitting here on this chair.
Got to be not fun.
Well, it just is not something that I favor over the Aspil. Now, I have to ask you important questions, but you do all kinds of surgeries.
Yeah.
When you went to med school at Rutgers, you studied to be a surgeon. Was your training in all facets of surgery so you could take out an appendix?
Yeah.
What exactly?
Anything really in the abdomen outside of the kidneys, which is urology's domain, the uterus and the ovaries, which is gynecology's domain. But for the most part, everything else, the pancreas I don't do because they're supposed to, really the people that do that are specialized in it. But I do spleens, I do stomachs, colons, intestines, appendix, gallbladder.
So Dr. Galena does my tracker.
So he does extra training to do just specialize in both the anus and the colon. That's colorectal.
But why couldn't he pull out the guy's problem?
I don't think he takes as much call. If he did, I'm sure he would.
But he would.
Yeah, if you take the emergency call, which is generally the general surgeon. We do the emergencies. You know, the thing is that a lot of these cases, none of them are planned. Nobody's going to show up in your office and be like, oh, hey, I've got this thing. Do you mind taking this out? Everybody's going to show up to the ER
emergency
and pray that they're going to take it out. What they don't understand is that you got to put them under general anesthesia.
Right.
Unless you really hate the guy, you're not going to try to take it out while they're awake. Also, they're not going to be relaxed enough.
How many of these do you do a week, emergencies like
this? I take it about one or two a month.
How many surgeries do you average a week?
Well, before the coronavirus, I was averaging, I'd say, between 10 and 15.
Surgeries a week.
Yeah, the most I ever did was 15.
But now with the Pharrell-demic going on, how many do you do?
Oh, God, three? All the elective surgeries are gone.
They won't let you in there.
The emergencies, the people aren't even showing up at the hospital. That's what's freaking me out, are the guys sitting at home with appendicitis going, oh, I'm not going to that place, I don't want to catch COVID. They're going to sit at home and die of their appendix rupturing. So it starts to worry you. Where are all these emergencies that we were getting?
Just so you know, you're a very popular doctor. People have been telling me about you.
I pay them. Don't believe a word.
Probably, because I got rave reviews about you. The one thing that I've surmised from all of this advice I've been getting about you, because I don't just send him over and I'll meet him and I'll interview him. I ask about you. So I was talking, first of all, to Dr. Kelly Blundy. She thinks the world of you. You're like God. So she told me all about you. You're super funny. You love sports, hockey's your thing, the doubles, all the rest. I knew all that. But the guy that I had mentioned him earlier was Dr. Galena. Now, I know you have a history of training in some capacity with him and work with him in the operating room and things of this nature in your progression as a great surgeon. And you became top of your field. And I know that you're one of the best surgeons in the tri-state area. Fact, I've been told that. More importantly, is that they both said the same thing to me. I don't know if you knew this or not, but I'm going to give you massive kudos here. They both said that you're an advocate for surgeons and for doctors and fighting for doctors to get paid, where these insurance companies screw over hospitals and doctors of all kinds, every reach of doctor, you name it, they all get screwed over by these insurance companies. It's literally, people don't realize the war that's going on at your hospitals and at your doctor's offices with these doctors. I think most people think that doctors are rich.
Wrong decade, yeah. That was the 90s or the 80s, maybe, yeah.
Maybe my whole life, since I was born in 65, so in the 70s, 80s, 90s, I was always under the assumption that if you went to law school or med school, you were going to be rich. And that is not the case, is that doctors have been getting screwed over forever. At what point in your life did you decide to become a shouter for the doctors and for the problem that is people ripping off insurance companies, ripping off doctors? When did you start fighting them?
You know, what's funny. I mentioned earlier I took over my dad's practice. He retired in 2016. And I'd say before that I was under his wing and functioned and operated on the practice that he set up and in the same model that was the old way. But I noticed it wasn't working as well right after he left because I noticed the payments. You can't get paid. You can work and do 50 surgeries in a week. If you get paid for three of them, what are you doing? And so I started to take a closer look and I realized there's some more nefarious things afoot. You know, for instance, it's not just for doctors, it's for patients. There's this big whoopla right now about surprise bills. What's a surprise bill? Why is it a surprise? The surgeon came, saved your life, sent the bill. That's a surprise? No, it's a surprise denial. It's a surprise that your insurance you pay $2,000 a month for won't pay the $50 charge for the surgery, for any of that.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So they created their big, massive PR machine. And I highly recommend if you want to read a book called Deadly Spin by Wendell Potter. It's a Cigna executive who grew a conscience after he killed a girl with his PR and decided to tell all about all the ugly, dirty little secrets of the insurance company.
Is it
PR.
Good?
It's an amazing book. It's scary.
What's it called again?
It's called Deadly Spin by Wendell Potter.
All right.
And I mean, they talk about creating
it's like
shell
Oprah's
corporations.
Book club over here.
Oh,
we're
that's
giving,
great! Yeah.
I'm giving book tips.
No, you're
with
talking about
Rose.
The stuff that they don't want you to know. For instance, that they set up fake advocacy organizations. They call them AstroTurf organizations to give out fake data and fake studies and fake public opinion. So think about a surprise denial, right? You send a bill. That shouldn't be a surprise bill. It's a surprise denial from the insurance company. I had a woman who was paying $2,000 to the insurance company every month who got upset for paying me $50 to do her surgery. I'd only charge her $50 because I didn't want to charge her nothing. And she called it a surprise bill. And I actually turned to her. I said, how much are you paying the insurance company a month? She goes, $2,000. I said, they didn't save your life. They didn't come in and do anything in the middle of the night. And that's whenever I started to get a bigger look. For instance, New Jersey passed this law called the Surprise Bill Act, right? That says doctors can't send bills and then we have to mediate with the insurance companies, etc. Now, the problem with that is that I know one of the guys who pushed for that bill. He's a guy who owns a massive medical group here in New Jersey called Riverside.
All right.
That's owned by United Healthcare.
They're
50%.
Huge.
Yes. The idea that an insurance company can own doctors makes me want to
vomit. That just sounds
corrupt. Think about it. That's like being on trial for your life and your lawyer being employed by the jail that's for profit. like how, honestly, your doctor, you've got chest pain. Oh, I think I'm having a heart attack, doc. And your doctor's going to get a little piece of paper from the insurance company that owns him and says, now, you can give him muscle relaxants at $30 and call it a chest muscle tear. Or you can do the $30,000 cardiac workup, make sure he's not dying of a heart attack. Now, that's the insurance company's money now that they're going to pay for it. What do you think he's going to recommend? I'm going to tell you right now, some of them, I have a good name for hernias I do. The hernias we do are really good. Really good. I'm the only guy allowed at two of my four hospitals allowed to use the expensive mesh because every other guy on staff
I've had a
is
lot
employed.
Of hernias.
Hernias are genetic too.
So I told you that I have broken every bone in my body and you asked me how and it's all basketball.
Yeah.
I have 15 screws and a hook in my rotator, labrum, broke my tibia plateau. I broke my hand in five places.
I got to watch you play basketball. if that's how you play basketball.
My fourth, fifth.
Jesus.
And my pinky and ring. I broke every finger five times. Double plantar fascia, double bone spurs, both heels. And I've had, 8 ass surgeries, 6 hernia surgeries.
And hernias. Yeah. You want to know what this sounds like?
I got hernias all over me.
Yeah. You got a belly button hernia.
I can
see it right now.
You see this one?
Yeah, it's a belly button hernia.
I got everything.
Now, here's the thing. Has anybody talked to you about anything called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
What does that mean?
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Wait a minute. Is this a part of the show where I find out I have a disease?
It's something that you should be worked up for, yeah. It's associated with hernias, associated with some fistulas, and associated with musculoskeletal injuries.
What is it called that I'm dying of?
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
What is it?
EDS, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It should.
It should.
Hopefully it doesn't come up erectile dysfunction, but...
it might very well come up as that, EDS, but ED is that.
It's a simple test. There's a lady down in Texas who's spearheading all the research on it.
Very and what worthwhile. Is it?
It's a connective tissue disease. It's a collagen disease.
So my rectum tears and my stomach
This
balls.
Will all make sense to you.
You're probably right. That's what I got.
Collagen is the brick of your building.
Right.
Your body's a building. Collagen is that brick. Now imagine if your cement that you ordered from the cement brick factory came with parts rubber in it. And you built a building and it kept falling apart. And you're like, what's going on with this building? There's something wrong with the brick. That's Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. You get fistulas, you get hernias, you can get broken bones, dislocated ligaments, things like that.
What do you do about it?
You just got to monitor it. And you got to check the genes of it. And you make sure you check to see if it passes on into kids. You monitor.
And then you die.
Well, no. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like anything.
So how did you end up a Yankee and a Devil fan your whole life? Is that what it is, those two? Those are your two favorite teams on
Yankees
Earth?
Yankees and Devils.
Do you go to a lot of Devil games?
Yeah, I have a box. I had one before they shut down the place.
Oh, so you were going all the time to Devils games. Yeah.
Well,
even when
the
they stunk.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of friends. Ken Danico.
Love Kenny. Such a good
guy. He just did the show, and we talked about the three Stanley Cups that he won. He said the Dallas one was the hardest. The two double overtimes and a triple overtime game against the defending champ. He said that was the hardest. The Middle Cup was the hardest.
Yeah.
He said the Red Wing one was shocking because they swept them, and they were 3-1 dogs.
Yep.
And then he said the last one, the seven-gamer against the Ducks, was the night, the game seven, that he had been benched for games 5 and 6 by Burns, and then he got to play in game seven, and they won and won the series, and he won his third Stanley Cup. It's crazy. Do you feel that with Hughes and the young talent that they have, Heeshire, that they are actually on their way back to greatness again?
You know what I think they're missing? I think they're missing the gray hair. And I say this, it's funny, I was talking to Kenny about this. You can have a surgeon, for instance, guy comes right out of his training, hot gun, really good hands, natural talent. And they say if you don't get him the gray hair, it's experience. It's the heart. You know, it's the part that the part where you actually impart your experiences to younger guys.
Right.
You're not
like
going to mature.
It's like when Colorado had Raymond Bourque.
That's exactly. And every time you look at any sport, look at football, look at the best quarterback greats. They all had gray hairs to get behind. I had my dad as a surgeon.
Right.
My first 5 years, anytime I caught something that was weird, I called my dad. I'm like, what the hell is this? And it was great because there were sometimes where he'd be like, I never heard or seen anything like that.
But
and
overall, the experience pays off.
Think of the best quarterbacks in NFL, right? Think of the very, very elite guys, they all had a gray hair to spend their first year with. I mean, if you think about Steve Young, think about Tom Brady, had Drew Bledsoe. One of the best interviews I ever had, what Drew Bledsoe was saying, you know, I was the one telling Tom at the end of that playoff game with the Raiders, said, go for it. You know, it didn't say lay it down. It said, go for it. We should
go
for it.
So you think they should get a player or two like that?
They need a few gray hairs on this team, and you got too many kids.
They don't.
They're turning over too much, and you've got just the young kids. But
who was the oldest guy? Zajac?
No, Dalton the Moon.
He's shot.
No, Coleman's pretty decent. You know,
but they got rid of him.
I know. And they were talking about getting rid of Kyle.
Oh my God,
if they got rid of Kyle, I would have cried.
Believe it or not, I honestly believe, and I know you'll think I'm crazy, I think Coleman actually is going to do great in Tampa. I think he's going to tip the scales for them. I don't think he can win the Stanley Cup for them. But I think with him on that team, they were already loaded, fast, played both ends of the ice, moved the puck better than any team in the NHL. I went to see him lose to the Knight. I actually thought it'd be Vegas-Tampa Stanley Cup final this year because those are the two best teams I saw in hockey. And I'm talking about all facets of the game, both ends of the ice, you know, cycling,
he's like
forechecking,
a Pippen. He's not a Jordan.
Goaltending, everything about it. And then, you know, Tampa had got, you know, swept in the first round a year before. It was so embarrassing. I think they had a chip on their shoulder and they were like, we're coming for this thing this year. I think they were going to actually do it. And I thought that was a beautiful deal by them to get Coleman because he's a player. He can flat out play. I thought they made a mistake getting rid of him. Now, what about the Yankees? Do you do the same thing there? Do you go to a lot of Yankee games?
I don't, mostly because it's just harder to get to. One, two, there's just so many games. I mean, 82 games? Holy Jesus.
So you know,
Devils, I go to like 20 games. Yankees, what I do for the Yankees is instead of getting a whole season ticket, I'll just go to one or two boxes the year, and that's it. And I actually usually do a charity event for Gold Star families. We always get a box at the Yankee Stadium and bring them all out.
So you get one of those big luxury boxes, like the Matsui box or whatever,
correct.
And party.
Right behind home plate.
And all
we
the
do
food.
A whole thing with them, with those guys.
And you like doing that?
And the nicest thing about the Yankees games is usually, I used to, before Steiner got bought out, I used to go through Steiner and he'd supply a player who would come up into the box. So Johnny Damon's been up there, Gary Sheffield, Doc Gooden, Mookie Wilson, Tino Martinez. These guys have come up to the box.
Tino was cool.
Tino's mad cool.
He's been on my show.
Willie Randolph.
Willie Randolph. But you had said earlier that you feel sorry for the Mets. Like, who does that? Like, what's wrong with you?
You know what it
is? Is that like you being the nice surgeon?
No, my family's all Mets fans. I was the only Yankee fan. So I feel bad for
them. But did they hate you because you weren't a Mets fan?
The Mets are so exquisite at inflicting pain on their fans. I mean,
I think it's great that they
suck. So good at it. There comes a point where you're just like, oh, I just feel bad at this point, you know?
I actually think they have a lot of
players. One of the best pitching staffs in the history of baseball a couple of years back, and they blew it because everybody got injured.
Their trainers should have gotten fired right off. Even though Thor's out, I think they have a lot of pitching. Like, they added a lot of pitching. Waka, Porcello, I think those guys can all be 11 to 15 game type winners. You know, somewhere in there, like Porcello's falling off.
If they can stay healthy. That's the problem with that team. I don't know what they're putting in the water over there at Citi Field, but it seems like every single guy's getting hurt.
But the Yankees are even worse now. The Yankees have become...
They're older. These are not hits.
Judge and Stanton never play.
Yeah, I know.
And how much does that cost a year?
Gary Sanchez is out half the year.
$450 million for those two players, and they never play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right? Cespedes never plays. He now is allegedly healthy. But do you like going to hockey games better than baseball games? I do.
I got to tell you, watching the sport, hockey's more fun.
I love them both, but it's way more fun.
If you're going to tell me which game is more exciting to watch, being in the stands, it's hockey. Hands down hockey.
So now you've been a surgeon now, practicing for how long?
Since 2012. What's that? Eight years?
What do you think is going to happen after this pandemic goes away? Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in terms of health or in terms of when do I think it's going to go away?
Yeah,
I mean, you're
both.
Talking about exit strategy. How do we get out of this mess? I mean, honestly, we're kind of back painted into a corner here. You've quarantined and flattened the curve. That's great. But how do you reopen without either a vaccine or a treatment? Because you're going to reopen, you'll be right in the same boat you were 2 months ago. It's going to spread like wildfire. But you can't stay not open forever.
They're starting to do it now.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, look, I personally think two things will happen. One, they'll have phased in reopening with suppressants. I think that the data is going to come out, and I've actually even been on the phone with our own state government trying to unrestrict hydroxychloroquine. I don't think azithromycin helps. I think hydroxychloroquine legitimately helps. There's actual science to back it up, mixed with zinc. You know, people don't realize this, and this is what's bizarre to me. Our country is so U.S.-centric, they don't look anywhere else in the world. Hydroxychloroquine is a suppressant for malaria. In these third world countries like Pakistan, India, they give these medications en masse to the population to suppress malaria, and they don't have malaria. Yet here, where everybody's fighting over how safe it is there side effects? Yeah, there's side effects to Tylenol, but it's certainly not as dangerous as COVID is. So if you were to say, and they think it could be as little as 2 pills a week of hydroxychloroquine could be enough, that you could give that to everybody, you could go out and live your life. In theory. Now, the science is still working it out, and the labs and the studies are being done. But I just saw a study this week that showed it's not a very effective treatment in the ICU. And right now, our state has it restricted only to the hospital, which is bizarre. It'd be like saying, we're going to take all the bulletproof vests off the battlefield and give them all to the guys in the trauma bay. We got shot already. What are you doing? It belongs out in the battlefield. It's supposed to be a suppressant, and it's useless once you're getting in the hospital. It suppresses the virus from replicating.
How old are you now?
40.
And your dad practiced until he was how old?
Oh, geez.
74? 75?
73, I think.
So there you go. You only have 33 more years of taking dildos out of people's rectums.
You know what? I don't mind those patients so much either, because I'll tell you what I like about those patients. One, they always pay their bills.
Right.
They never complain about a bill.
Do you ever see them at the grocery store and the guy sees you and he goes, hey, that's the...
They give you the pretend they don't know you.
They pretend like they don't know you. And then you see them walking around the corner.
I don't judge. You know, I'm not a judgmental guy.
That's the guy that took the dildo out of my rectum.
I've had wives actually come in with the husbands. The wives put it in there.
Oh.
I've actually had that happen a few times. And it's funny, they're embarrassed and all. And I just look at them, I'm like, look, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You guys, I'm a libertarian, man. Do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you what to do to get your jollies off. Just be safe. You know, I will say the women never get it stuck because I think women are much smarter than guys are, I guess, or maybe less enthusiastic. The guys are just a little too, go to the wrist, you know, lose your wristwatch in there and the whole thing disappears.
I just don't even want to talk about this anymore.
I will say it's a little bizarre seeing furniture in there.
You know, like this is the greatest finial? Show I've ever done. Now lawn furniture is going into rectums.
No, the bed finials. You know the finials that go on top right. of the decorative posts?
Sure. It's like a baseball bat.
I think that's more expensive.
Yeah, a baseball bat in there?
Never a baseball bat.
A Louisville Slugger?
I think that probably comes back
what
out.
What about a lawnmower?
Never a lawnmower. Like the lawn blower? Yeah, never had anything like that. But, I mean...
What about my neighbor's water pressure sprayer?
Never had a pressure sprayer up there, thank God. I don't imagine...
What about a grill?
No.
A gas grill? Like a, you know, barbecue grill?
I'll tell you the scariest one.
What about a car?
No. The scariest
what about
one?
A yacht? Has there been a yacht in the wreck?
So here's a bottle of water.
Right.
You ever seen the Trey Sommé hair mousse? The
family size? Yeah, the big
one. With the lid on. So I had one of those in.
Trey Sommé, the giant tub of shampoo.
The giant hair mousse bottle. Now, the problem was this guy put it in.
How high
he put
do
it on Thursday.
He
came in on a Monday.
How high do you have to be
to do that?
You got to be on meth.
This is where it gets weird, right? He puts it in on Thursday. He comes in on Monday. He's like, I thought it would come out over the weekend. It didn't, so I came in. So the guy comes in. I'm like, you realize this is a bomb. This thing's aerosolized, man. You ever try to get coins out between the cushion of your chair and the car, and you're doing that thing with the pointy and the back of your one finger and the front of the other, and you're trying to reach it and kind of do that? Now, you can't do that in somebody's ass. You got to actually get this pincher on it and pinch it.
And pull it out.
And pull it out. I can't do that to a pressurized flammable
can.
It'll blow.
And then he could blow.
Exactly. So I'm doing that trying to get this thing out.
It'd be like an IED in the ass.
Correct. Exactly. And I'm scared crapless. I'm like, this thing's going to blow. He can't use cautery.
And you blame that on the Turkish.
Well, that's the Turkish fault. Turkish, they're the ones who are encouraging everybody.
All right, so Santorini, you're going to tell me the places.
Yes. I'll send you the ones that are the hottest right now.
You need to send those to me. That sounds like a great vacation.
Gorgeous. They have like a little cove.
You're incredible, dude.
Thanks, man.
Custodius.
Yes.
That is a great name. Stavros Christodius, the greatest name in the history of the Pharrell and a Bench podcast. Great job on here. Continued success with your practice your surgeries on people's rectums, obviously that is the best show I've ever done with some of the things you told me that have been trapped in people's butts. I think that is just fantastic. And what's even better is that we did it in front of my priest, and he listened. And he laughed. He enjoyed it. So don't think that they're all super holy. He's super cool. Like, you can talk to him about a rectum and a dildo, and he didn't overreact. I think that's because I always drop off the tithing, even during the Pharrell-demic.
Nice.
Because no one's allowed to go to the church. I still go give them the money. If you keep giving them the money, they love you forever. I mean, they love you anyway, but they love you more.
Gotta get through.
You get more juice. Hey, great job on the pod. I love you. You'll have to do it again. We'll get you back on. Nice performance by you.
I'll give you puff dates.
Continued success, my friend.
Thank you.
Keep saving the world.
We're trying.
And rectums.
Appreciate it.
I like that guy. And he's got a Chinese mother. By the way, no disrespect, man, at all. But my daughter's very upset that all the Chinese restaurants are closed during the Pharrell-demic. She's very angry that she can't get Chinese, because on Sundays I always eat Chinese. I love it.
This is some
she's
salt,
very upset.
Aren't they?
That's not what I'm hearing.
There might be one or two open.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
They're open on Christmas. Like, wouldn't they be open on COVID?
I don't know. I don't understand why they would close it, because can you imagine the money they'd make?
Yeah.
No, what's so scary about ordering from the Chinese place?
You know what it is that I do know a lot of people who were owners of Chinese restaurants, and people got fearful and they wouldn't order from the Chinese.
China.
Correct.
And they started freaking out.
They wouldn't order the Chinese food because they're like, it's got something to do with COVID. And it's just completely
that's
asinine.
Ridiculous.
Look.
I don't think that's going to affect my beef and broccoli.
Let's put it this way. People I consider to be intelligent. Populations sometimes do some stupid things. And this is one of those things.
I think that at the end of this show, it's that we're stupid Americans.
Yeah, sometimes.
We really are.
Because
you said we don't listen to anyone else. We don't react to
it. We don't look around the world.
We didn't look at what China's, did, Spain, Italy, how they're dealing with it.
No.
Instead, we got a guy, he thinks it's a joke and he'll figure it out himself.
We relearned in this country every hard lesson every other country did a month or two after they did.
Yeah, we learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Like the guy with
the
dildo
in his
rectum.
Kid. Yeah, we're that stubborn kid who doesn't want to listen. Exactly.
All right, listen, you're hilarious. I love you. Everyone was right. Dr. Kelly was right. Dr. Greg was right. Great job by you. There goes my wife. She's going to meet her boyfriend right now during the Pharrell-demic. She's still got time to drive around and hook up with her boyfriend. Great job by you. I love you, man. Way
Thanks,
to go.
Bob. I appreciate it.
There
Thanks
he is.
On.
Stavros Christodios on the FOTB pod. Check out who.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home, thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.